Hello, fempreneurs. I'm Odiva, your host, and I am very excited to have a fantastic fempreneur here today to talk to us a little bit about her business and also her business mission. And her name is Tricia Craig. So I will let her just give you a brief introduction of who she is and tell us a little bit of how she came up with this business idea. All right, Trisha, go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. You're so spectacular, and I'm so excited to be here. And I love fempreneur. I've never used that word before, so I'm loving that. It's really fantastic. And your women that follow you, they're amazing people doing so many cool things. So this is really fun. I'm really excited. So thank you.
You're very
So
welcome.
the short story maybe is that I am actually a classically trained flutist and conductor. And I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid. I've had very few real jobs. As a teenager, I taught flute lessons and did things like that. And I've owned a music school. I've done lots of things. But during COVID, when all of my colleagues had to stop teaching online, and when all of the amazing artists whose work I collect, I'm an avid art fan. When we could no longer do the things that we do, there were no more concerts, there were no more art galleries, there were no more shows, there was no, all of my colleagues, I found them saying, oh, well, now I can't work. And I didn't realize how limited they were in their business side. And even with Zoom, I mean, now we joke about Zoom, everybody knows Zoom, but I had been using Zoom for flute lessons for a while because here in New Hampshire, we have snow days, and for some reason, it seems to be a blizzard on every Monday in the winter, and that is my big teaching day. So, years before COVID, I started using Zoom for snow days so that I wouldn't lose all of my income every time it snowed. So, when COVID hit, I started just a business group that I was just trying to help my friends, really. And I was teaching them one by one, here's how to use Zoom. And they didn't know how to do PayPal, and they didn't know how to do all these basic things. So I was just jumping in and helping them. And then I realized that they didn't know anything really about marketing and how to get your word out there. And I don't know how I didn't realize that they didn't know this, but I started helping them. And the next thing I know, the group started having people in it that were like, could I hire you to teach me? Could I hire you? And so I turned it into a business. I had a coaching business prior to COVID. I was coaching music students on how to get into college and how to use their musical training to get into college. And that was going pretty well until COVID, and all of a sudden people didn't even know if they'd go to college the next year. So that died. So all I did was I took all of my business plan for that coaching business, and I flipped it to creative people, and I haven't looked back. I have the best clients, and I work with creative ones. It's artists and photographers and musicians and writers and composers and all kinds of potters. Love pottery. And I've discovered that we as creative ones were taught to be starving artists. And it's something that we were taught. And I believe that it's something that we don't have to embody, that we can change that. And so my clients are doing great selling their work and developing a fan base. And it's, yeah, it's all about building relationships, isn't it?
Well, that is great. And like when I first saw your Facebook page, Creatives as Entrepreneurs, and I thought, wow, this is a brilliant mission. And especially the colorful, like that's the first thing that really
Yeah,
attracted me when I saw your page.
definitely.
So colorful and inviting. And this is a niche market that people have not tapped into. It's interesting that you said that you were teaching piano because my background is English teaching. Oh, flute. Sorry. Yeah, my background is English teaching. And I started doing online in 2016.
There, yeah.
And at the time, people said, no, you can't do that. in order to learn, you have to be face to face. So many people told me
Yeah,
when I
I
started my
know.
business that it couldn't be done. And
Right.
so I'm an avid techie and I played around. I knew Zoom and I knew several other platforms. I played around with all these platforms for years. And then when the market hit, like COVID, everybody was on and everybody was using the word Zoom. I use another platform as well. And for payments and all of these things, they became part of the culture.
Right.
And it was just so interesting to be ready for that.
Right. Yeah, I was ready for that just out of desperation. Thank goodness for blizzards. that made me ready. But it's interesting what you said about people saying that it couldn't work, because when I first started doing it with my flute students, well before COVID, there were several who were like, "Oh, I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. I'm not sure I want to do it that way." And I'm like, "Well, this is how your flute lesson's going to be if there's a snow day." So once COVID hit, everybody was like right into it, and it was funny because my students, who range right this year, my flute students range from 6 to retirees, and they were all already comfortable. So when things shut down, I remember that very first week that we couldn't meet in person, I said, "No problem, we'll just do what we always do, and we'll just be online for a couple of weeks. No big deal." Well, it was a lot more than a couple of weeks, but they just jumped right in. I didn't miss anything. So it's interesting because now probably you have a lot of clients that you can work with online too, and they don't argue about it, or they don't wonder about it anymore. It works just fine.
Because that was the dream for me. A little bit about me. I love traveling. So I lived in five different continents and I wanted to keep traveling while working. I did not want to be dependent on, let's say, the company in that particular country, because what happens with that is, you're in a country, in my experience, you don't speak the language, you're really dependent on these and things can go, this person, and things can go wrong. So I wanted that financial freedom, and that is what I preach to, women entrepreneurs. This is a way to get financial freedom. So don't knock it until you've tried it.
And physical freedom, right? I live part-time. If you know New Hampshire, we have 17 miles of beach on the sea coast over there. And I live part-time at the beach and part-time in the mountains. And so I'm in the mountains right now. And or I could have been at home at the beach. I could be in either location, and it works out just fine because we have this connection right here. And I think it's a great tool. I love it. And I do all my coaching. I would say 99% of my coaching now I do via Zoom. I do it online, and it makes it possible for me to have clients in, Great Britain and Canada and, all across the US. They don't all have to be right here in New England, or more specifically, within a driving distance of where I am in New Hampshire. So it makes it possible for more people to have more success. I think it's fun.
So this is a great business that you came up idea that you came up with out of necessity. Your friends kind of needed to get on the bandwagon, needed to keep promoting their businesses. Art people, artists, needed to keep promoting these businesses without, being face to face. And I think that's, I mean, it's an old concept, but it's also kind of a new concept for people to realize that as an artist, you can really be promoting yourself and getting your work out there beyond the art gallery. That's amazing.
You don't have to be dependent on a venue or on I call them gatekeepers, right? The person who books the art gallery, or the person who books the concert venue, or whatever it is. You can have more control. You can book your own events, and you can do, I mean, you can even, it doesn't even have to be huge. I've helped visual artists, sell one piece of art. You can sell it one at a time, just person to person. It's about a relationship. And so if you don't have to be in a gallery, if somebody wants the artwork, you can have a system for having them buy it, and you just ship it to them. It's doable. And one of my clients the other day was all excited because she shipped out her first piece of artwork to someone she had never met before. She was all excited because the reach was working. It's that it really can be possible, and you don't, you can, it's much freer. You don't have to be dependent on the gallery or you know, the shop.
And are you, do you dabble in art yourself? I'm terrible with that, but tell me about you.
I don't. I'm just a. I do some stitching. You know, I just as for fun, I do stitching
But you'd
and make
have a
little.
good eye because, like, the things
I.
that you are putting out for your marketing
Yeah.
materials, these are so beautiful.
Thank you. So I just love art, and I collect art. I have I all my jewelry is handmade. This was by a New Hampshire artist. This was by a New Hampshire artist. These were by New Hampshire artists, and I have you know, handmade pottery. I have to be around handmade beautiful things. I have to be all the time. And so that was part of what got me started too, is that I have a pretty good art collection, right? And I have relationships with these artists, and understanding that those relationships turn into sales, you know, and acknowledging that. So when they were saying, "Well, now I can't sell my work," I was like, "No, you still have relationships with people. You could still sell a piece. You could sell a piece to me. All you have to do is show it to me and explain it and have this ongoing conversation." And when I look around at my art collection, which most of it is at the beach, but when I look around, there are repeat artists. Like I have several pieces by, you know, this one dude that makes mugs. I have several pieces of jewelry by the same artist. I have several because you buy one and you get to know the artist and you get to know their work, and now there's a relationship, and that relationship is what turns into a business. And it doesn't have to be icky sales stuff. It's getting to know each other. And literally for me, when I'm teaching marketing, it's about relationships, it's about education, and it's when my story and your story overlap. So if it where our stories overlap, that's where the business happens, right? And so that's my whole teaching. That's everything I teach right there, is that you build a relationship and you educate them about what you do, and then you know who you are, you know who they are, and those stories overlap, and suddenly you just can sell things. It's not.
Relationship, education, and stories. That's brilliant. Stories that overlap. Okay. Yeah, relatable stories. That is awesome. So I'm wondering, like, with these artists, how do they build the relationships, the artists that you work with, how do they build the relationship with people that they don't know? How
It's
are they
so
doing that?
fun. So I like to start my clients off. Many of my clients are real beginners when it comes to marketing. I like to start them off, believe it or
I
not,
feel
with
like
a.
a real beginner. No matter how much I learn, there is so much
Oh yes.
more factors and pieces.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the good thing about my clients, is that we as musicians and artists, we've been in learning mode since we were a kid, right? We've been in training, and we've been critiqued a million times. So they're easy to teach once they're in that mode. So that's kind of fun, because they're used to being critiqued and those kinds of things. But for me, I start my clients with a Facebook business page, honestly, and I teach them how to interact with their people on a Facebook business page. So that's where we start. And even before we set that up, I have these worksheets that I take them through, these projects where we really delve into who are you. And I know you talk about this with your women, who are you, and to be authentically you, and to know who that is, and to own it. Like you have to be you, and there are plenty of people out there who need you. So it's okay to be who you are. Like I've heard you say, you don't want to try to be somebody else. You don't
Yes,
want to try to be what you think
unique.
people want.
Uniqueness is my favorite word. And I
Yeah.
find that when I'm working with women, so many of the things that they think are their flaws are basically what makes them and their brand beautiful. That is what people are looking for. That, as you say, relatableness.
Yeah. For my art clients, well, and my musicians, all my artist people, a lot of them are afraid to show anything other than the polished, finished work. And some of the best posts that go the furthest are not even just work in progress, but the mess, right? And so, like, I love art, and to see what it means to have, to do a wood block print, and to see how you use the tool, or to see the how the ink gets all over everything else, or
Kind of the
that's
process.
fascinating to me, right? Because now I'm like, oh, I understand that art form even more. And now when I look at my woodblock prints that I have framed, I'm even more excited because there isn't ink all over the place, and there isn't, woodshed and all that stuff. It you understand the background. One of my clients recently posted this wonderful picture. She kind of dared herself to do it, of her easel and the way that she stores her supplies next to the easel. So the easel has paint all over it, and it was not a glamorous photo, right? It was just this big wooden easel with this like place for hanging, and there were these buckets on the side with paint brushes that were all painty, and
Yeah,
there it is. And
hamstered.
so and she did a post about, how do you store your tools? It was about tools. People loved it because it was like into the secret world of the artist. And we don't realize that the polished piece isn't the point. This whole process is what fascinates people. And so when you let them in to see who you are and what goes on behind the scenes, and I think back to when I lived in a condo, and I would practice my flute, and I'd be doing these wretched just these wretched sounds, and this neighbor would say, "I always love hearing you practice." And I was like, "Oh, really? Like, you should hear me really play." But what he loved was hearing this process, hearing me try and back up and try and back up. And he said that he would sit out back. We were over a marsh, and he would sit at the marsh, and he would just sort of listen to
Oh.
listen to the struggle almost, or listen to the process. And it was fascinating to him. And
Yeah.
we don't think about
Well,
that. We think that we can only show the parts that people won't be critical of. And one of my clients recently posted a painting that she decided to trash. She's like, "Well, this did not work the way I wanted to, and this is why I'm gonna trash it," And so people are like, "Oh, that's cool. You're not just talented," which I hate that word, "but you're working at it. And it doesn't always work." And that actually adds value to the work, because when you do see the beautiful finished one that's gorgeous, you appreciate it even more because you know that there were others that got trashed. They weren't
Yeah,
good.
that's the key word, the appreciation.
Yeah.
Like pottery, I didn't know when I was a kid, I didn't know where pottery came from. And then one
Right.
day we had this pottery class. And I'm a very good techie. I can do everything on the computer, but when it comes to hand stuff, boy, I made some really crooked, funky looking thing that was supposed to be a mug, but I wouldn't dare ask anybody to drink out of it. And after that, you start looking at pottery and you're thinking, wow,
Right.
how did
Right.
they do that?
Even this piece that I have right here, when I hold it, like someone's thumb made
Oh, that's
this,
cute.
the artist's thumb did that, so it feels like I'm connected to a human too. I love that about it. And knowing the behind the scenes things, I even just learning things about the kiln or the glazes or just all of that stuff makes it so much more exciting when you see the pot, when you see the mug. And I've had potters say to me that they get really frustrated because someone would say to them, "Why should I spend $30 on that mug when I can buy a set of four at a box store for 20? Why should I do that?"
Ah,
And
I see. I'm starting to get it, and I'm starting to feel like your love for the artwork. You are surrounded by humans. You're surrounding yourself with human energy, beautiful imperfections, your jewelry, everything.
Yeah. And so thank you. And so for that person, I say, well, that's a gift when they say, I don't know why I should spend that money when I can get a cheap mug, a commercial mug for less. They're telling you what you need to do for marketing. They need to learn what the difference is. They need to learn all the things you were just talking about. You tried to make a mug and you're like, no one could drink out of it, And so to see all these processes and to see how the kiln works and to see how where the clay comes from and to see the muck on the floor or to see the raku pit or any of these things, you see that stuff and then you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And little by little, your audience switches from wanting that set of four for $20 to I'd like to have one of those. And I like that specific glaze they work in. I'm going to wait for that, And that's what it's about. That's that educating part and that connecting with the humanity on the other side of the screen. Yeah. It's
Wow.
fun.
And tell me a little about what is the type of things that these artists struggle with most. It sounds like you've changed their mindset about connecting with people. It doesn't have to be in the rain, like I see a lot of people in the rain at the market. They can still do it online. And would technology be also one of the things that they kind of struggle with? You said you helped them with PayPal and payments.
Honestly, I think, and this holds true for all of my clients, including those in the performing arts, believe it or not. I think the number one thing that they struggle with is being seen. You would not believe how many of my brilliant musician clients and brilliant musician colleagues who don't want to post a video of themselves playing because, and they have master's degrees and teach at major universities, and they don't want someone to judge it. Or, the artists who are like, well, I don't look good on camera. Okay, well, your hands can be on camera, or you don't have to be there yourself, but to have one decent photo of you doing something with the paintbrushes, or even from the back of you, so that you're a real person. You don't have to be Miss America. You can just be real, and then people have a human to connect with. And so visual artists are often a little bit more on the introverted scale, not always, of course, but a lot of them are just like, just let me be in a different room and do my thing. So getting them to be willing to kind of be seen or to even have a voice in their marketing, that's a challenge. And I'm shocked that by how many performing artists are uncomfortable putting themselves out there in a way that people could perhaps judge their work.
I see that. That's profound. That's in some ways shocking, but I get it because we have been conditioned in society, and even on many, many forms of social media, we are seeing perfection. Body perfection, everything is edited. Of course, they have a huge team of people to do that, but it's very rare that you just see the normal humans showing up, showing their craft, showing their business. And let's say it's a performing artist and they're used to being critiqued in that on that stage. It's like you cannot make any mistakes on that stage. So they're taking that into their business. Ah, I see.
And it's sad because it's not true. It's not true. If you get online and say, all right, I'm working on this, I'm working on this etude today. Okay, now you know that there's a process. And nobody's going to be like, see, you're a bad flutist. And if they are, they're just a jerk. But most people are going to be like, oh, cool. I'm not the only one who struggles. Oh, cool. When you perform, you sound amazing. And that's where it came from. It actually is part of the education. And it's actually part of the relationship building that is so important. And it makes you a real human. Like, no one, we see all these perfections and no one can relate to that. But when you see, my clients, easel with the paint all over it. You're like, oh, look, her studio. It's like you're seeing into the secret world, and it's kind of messy. And you're like,
Instant connection.
oh, thank God. It's like, thank goodness. Like,
Yeah.
Right? And so it makes you really much more human, and it's easier to have a relationship with that person. And it's easier to be impressed by their final product when you know that they have struggled to get that product to you, you know?
And something you said that just kind of makes me aware, even for those people who are business coaches, like some people that I work with, they're trying to get to such a high level before they advertise their product or service.
Yeah.
But we don't, as humans, we don't always want to work with somebody that is at such a high level of experience, because they may not be able to explain it to you on, a beginner level. So
Right.
the more people that are out there, it's a world that's of abundance. There is no, taking somebody else's clients. The more
Right.
people that are out there that are helping people who they connect with, this is beautiful. I would love
Right.
to see some more of this art that you're
I
talking
know.
about.
I know. And a lot of people think that I have to have all of my ducks in a row before I even try to do marketing like you're talking about. So it doesn't really matter what your business is. Mine happen to be creative people, or people who think outside the box and don't feel comfortable. Like I do have some clients who are not visual artists, but they really aren't comfortable with that black and white businessy stuff. And so they like to do things in a more artsy thinking way,
Oh, the rebels.
but I think it's awesome. So,
Yeah.
but a lot of them still will be like, okay, I don't want to try email marketing until I have a whole email series set up. And I'm like, well, you don't know if that will work. So you have to learn by doing, like, you have to get to know your audience a little bit before you, like, what if you spent the next month building this huge email campaign and then it just falls on dead ears? What if you do one at a time and see what your audience is relating to,
See
right?
what they
And
want. Yeah.
yeah, same with your Instagram account, same with your Facebook page. I had a client whom I adore. I love my clients. I love them. But this woman, she was going to do a weekly post on her page, and she would not start posting them until she had created 52, because she wanted one for every week already set up, so that she knew what she was. She wanted clarity. She had to have all 52 set up. And I was like, I think that's a procrastination technique. I think you're afraid. I think there's some fear going on here. And wouldn't it be better if you could do three weeks worth for one and see what the reaction is? Because what if you make 52 and it's the wrong vibe and you have to go back and redo them? Don't make 52 before you post one. Like, you could start with one. It's okay. So
Brilliant.
that fear, that perfection thing, that's another thing that I think everyone is afraid, a little bit afraid, to
Yeah,
start.
it
And honestly,
comes up again, time and time again. And then you realize, like, no matter what your business is, it's going to evolve over time. But you really have to, like, put something out there and then connect with the client and then one by one get the feedback to build it. That's brilliant.
Getting over the fear. I heard someone of I think he's called the rap preacher. I can't remember his name, but
I've
I heard
heard,
a
yeah, I know him.
I can't think of his
I
name.
should know his name. Oh my goodness,
But
it's gone from me. Not yet.
I don't, but I heard I watched one of his videos and I was like smitten. But one of the things he said was, change fear to faith. Like, instead of feeling fear, call it faith and do the thing, and I think we can learn a lot from that. I learned it early on in creatives as entrepreneurs, because I was working with a business coach and I was in a group with her and with some other people, and I was hesitating to put creatives as entrepreneurs out there. I was feeling a little bit of an identity crisis. I've always been a flutist and a conductor, and I owned a music school for 22 years and all these things. And I'm like, what will people think? And she's like, they'll think that you're doing something new, that you've evolved, that and she's trying to convince me. So I made the Facebook banner for my personal page that kind of announces my new thing. And it wasn't pretty, but I made it. And so she's like, well, you made it, but I don't see it. And I was like, I just can't post it. I just couldn't put it out there. And she was like, you have to post it right now. And I was like, I'm just not ready. I don't know what people will think. And she's like, what will they think? That nothing's going to go wrong. Just post it. And she's like, in fact, I'm going to go around to the other people in the group and come back to you. And while I'm doing that, you're going to post it right now. So during this group coaching, I was like, and everybody's like, yeah, Trish, go post that thing. So I went on Facebook and I posted my Facebook cover on my personal page that announced creatives as entrepreneurs, and I put it there. And do you know what happened?
What?
Nothing. Nothing happened. A lot
Oh.
of people were like, yay, that's so cool. Oh, I can see you doing this. Yay. But nobody was like, you're an idiot, or what are you? It was fine. It was fine. And you know, the earth isn't going to explode if you do your first Facebook post, or if you do your first behind the scenes, you know, piece of artwork, or your first attempt at just showing people what goes on when you're doing your scale practice or whatever. The world is not going to end. No one is sitting around waiting to judge you, really. It might feel that way, but you put your thing up and you're making squeaky sounds on the violin while you're trying a new technique, whatever, and people are going to be like, huh.
Thank you. Thank you for this message. And to the women that I work with who are thinking that I have an accent or my English is not
Oh.
perfect, or you know, I'm from one culture and maybe I'm presenting my business to another culture, this is what makes you human. And
Yeah.
this is such a beautiful thing. So
It's
let's
that's
encourage
real.
this. Yes.
Yeah. That's what makes you real. And that's where your story can overlap with someone else's story. Perhaps your accent reminds them of their grandmother, or perhaps it just sounds a little exotic, or perhaps it's charming, or perhaps they don't even notice. But I could tell you, there's a new flute repair guy in my area, and I need a new flute repair guy, and a lot of my students need a new flute repair guy. And he's actually from Korea, and he's got an accent, and his English is really good, but not,
Perfect.
he doesn't sound like a native speaker,
Yeah,
right?
neither.
And so far, so when I first read his text, and I had recruited, I used to work in admission office for New England Conservatory for a long time, so I dealt with a lot of international students, so I'm really good at accents, and I'm really good at deciphering grammar that's not accurate. So when I was reading his Facebook, I mean his website, I was smitten because you could tell he wrote it with a lot of thought, but it's not quite a native speaker sounding, right? But that added charm for me. I was like, I love this guy. And then
Yes.
when you hear him speaking, he's just so, it's so endearing. And so far, every single student and every single parent who has talked to him, when they come back to me, they go, oh, he's just so charming. It's just so sweet. I love his accent. So he
You
might be
chance
sitting
to.
there going, oh, I don't know if they like me because I have this accent. But so far, every single one of us has been like, oh my gosh, he's so amazing. He's so brave to come here from another country and to start a business. I mean, we're all smitten. And part of it is the charm of his accent and his English that's not quite right. Right.
So I'm going to make sure that everyone who watches this gets your lead magnet
Oh,
and
yeah.
also your Facebook page. You have put so much into it. You're really nurturing your group with freebies and giveaways, creatives as entrepreneurs. So
Yeah.
everyone, look for that link that I am going to be posting because Trisha Craig is really heartfelt entrepreneur, and she's
Thank you.
really doing what she needs to do to get more art and beauty out in the world. And I'm just excited
Thank
to
you.
talk to you about this today.
Thank you.